Ogilvie, who was a Presbyterian minister, but also the chaplain of the U.S. Senate from 1995 to 2003. And as you know, the Senate used to open every session with prayer. I don't know if they still do or not. But he would open every session of Senate with prayer. And he has this plaque on his desk. And it says this: without God, we can't. Without us, he won't. Now take that in. Do you understand what that is saying? The first part of it is very obvious. Without God, we can't. We can't save ourselves. We can't redeem ourselves. We're lost. Fundamentally, even more than that, we couldn't even live without God. One of my favorite verses is Acts 17:28 that says, in him we live and move and have our being. In God, we live, we move, we have our being, we have our life, and God is our life. So without him, without God, we can't. We can't live. We couldn't save ourselves from sin. We couldn't have any hope. But the second part is without us, he won't. Meaning that without God's, without the people that God created, God will not do anything to accomplish our salvation. Christmas is the time when Christ came to save sinners. But God so chose, he didn't have to do it this way. He wanted to do it this way. In order to save us from our sins, he works through the very people that he has come to save, sinners like us. So this, the second part means without us, without our cooperation with God, God will not accomplish his purposes in this world. We're going to be looking at Mary's journey from fear to faith, because it all begins with a very fearful encounter. The path of faith begins with a very fearful encounter with the angel. And you can understand Mary's fear. She's a very poor girl, a peasant. She's from a town called Nazareth, which was looked down upon. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was on the other side of the tracks, we would say. One of those towns, you know. She was very likely 14 or 15 years old. She wasn't a mature woman when she became pregnant with Jesus. She was a young girl in her early teens, very likely. And she was in betrothed to a man who was probably almost 30 years of age. So you can imagine this. Here's a young teenage girl pledged to be married to a man, Joseph, who was twice her age. She was having an encounter with an angel, which she had never, ever had before. In those days, boys were educated in religion. Girls were not allowed to be educated formally in the religion of Judaism. They were kept at home with the mothers to be taught the domestic things of life. Now, of course, the mothers taught them of their faith as well, but not in the sense that a boy was able to learn the more intricate things of the Jewish faith. So here she was, poor, young, inexperienced when it comes to religious activities, formal religious activities, and a virgin. And the angel is saying to her something that is completely troubling and frightening to her. And the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." You know what that word favor means in the literal translation? You have found grace with God. Now, the favor was not Mary's favor. God didn't choose Mary because somehow she was a special girl or she was more virtuous. And this is often the way we look at it, that God chose Mary because of all the girls in Nazareth, she was the most virtuous. That's not what this is saying. When it says you have found favor with God, the favor, the grace of God is upon her, meaning undeserved merit and favor. Mary did not deserve to be the mother of Jesus, but God favored her. The favor was from God, not from Mary. You have found favor with God, Mary, and you have been chosen to be the mother of the Redeemer. But, you know, not only does Mary's journey begin with fear, but a lot of our journeys with God begins with fear, doesn't it? My journey as a Christian began in a very fearful situation when I was a little boy. I was afraid of God. And the reason I came to God was out of fear that he would not send me to hell. I didn't want to go to hell when I died. I wanted to go to heaven. And that led me to God. But you know what happened very quickly? I found his grace.
And when you find the grace of God, that fear turns into love. And if there's anybody in this room that's running from God, because one of the first things we do when we're fearful, we turn around and run the other way, don't we? And I'm sure Mary probably had the inclination, this is not where I need to be. They must have the wrong person. I'm not the one to bring into the world the Redeemer of the world. Mary did not run. She stood and she was engulfed and consumed by the grace of God, and her fear was then removed. Verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And I don't know what your relationship is with God or with Christ right now, but if it's based on fear, when you understand the love of God, how much he loves you, how much he's willing to do for you, that love will completely overcome the fear that you have of God. Now, there is a healthy fear of God, a respect of God, but not a fear meaning being frightened of God. There's nothing to be frightened about with God. God loves you, and he showed his love so much by sending his son into this world. As our relationship with God might begin in fear, it does not end there. Moving on, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 reminds us, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing. But when you understand who God is and that he is there to love you and to redeem you, that fear turns into faith. Her second step along her journey, and I'm going through this really quickly because I want to get through up to at least verse 56. Doubt. Her fear didn't go right from fear to faith. There was some doubt because in verse 31, the angel told Mary, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you were to give him the name Jesus, which means salvation is of Jehovah. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And then Mary asked the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? How can this happen? How can I give birth? I've never known a man. I'm betrothed to a husband. I'm not married yet. We're just engaged. How is this going to happen? And Mary was doubtful about that this would ever really come about. And, you know, one of the ironic things about having faith in God, faith and doubt go together. They're not opposites. I have doubt in my faith. If I didn't have doubt, I wouldn't need faith. If everything was clear and I had no questions about God, I had no misgivings, I understood everything fully, why would I need faith in God? But because there is a little bit of doubt, faith always comes in to take over that doubt. You know, I think that if you and I, at the end of 2017, were told all that God had in store for us in 2018, all that God is going to do in your life in the next 12 months, there'd be a little bit of doubt on you too. Lord, you're going to do that in my life? That's going to be accomplished in the next year? How can that be, Lord? And we would be, like Mary, wondering, how is God going to ever accomplish what he wishes to accomplish in my life? Some of you remember the story of Todd and Lisa Beamer from 9/11 back in 2001, when Todd Beamer was on an airplane that was hijacked by the terrorist. And this plane crashed eventually in Pennsylvania. They believe it was probably headed for the White House, to crash into the White House. But Todd Beamer and a few others got a hold of the situation. And remember, he was on the phone, I think, to his wife. And she heard him say, let's roll. That became a very famous saying, let's roll, as he and others charged the terrorists. And I don't know what happened, but the plane, rather than reaching its destination and crashing into the White House, crashed into the field and killed everybody on board. Lisa Beamer was left with two little children, and she was pregnant with their third child. She was a Christian woman, but she said to herself, how am I going to go on? How are we going to go on with three children and no daddy, no husband? And she questioned God's purpose in all this. Well, she was given this verse by a friend to read, and many of you know this verse, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And she read this, and this really transformed her thinking. And she wrote this testimony after reading that verse. Here's what Lisa Beamer wrote. "Slowly I began to understand that the plans that God has for us don't just include good things, in quotes, but the whole array of human events. The prospering that God talks about in the book of Jeremiah is often the outcome of a bad event. I remember my mom telling me that many people look for miracles, things that in their mind fix the situation. Many miracles, however, are not a change to the normal cause of human events. They are found in God's ability and desire to sustain and nurture people through even the worst situations. Somewhere along the way, I stopped demanding that God fix the problems in my life, and I started to be thankful for his presence as I endured them." That was Lisa's testimony. That was 16 years ago. Today, one of her sons plays football for Wheaton College, one of the little boys that was left when Todd was killed. Lisa's doubt about what God had planned was transformed into faith, and it sustained her. Here we are seeing the same with Mary, who comes, is fearful, is doubtful, but then her next step along her journey is submission, where she finally says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. And let's read this in context. Verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." God's sovereign power will overshadow your human weakness. Isn't that really, in short, what God does in our lives? "So that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age." There were two miracles going on at the same time. Elizabeth, who was in her 70s or 80s, was having a child. That's a miracle. And this little 14 or 15-year-old girl, her cousin, who was a virgin, was having a child. Two miracles, different kinds of miracles, but both the miraculous work of God. "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to have been barren is in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." We have to believe that. When you face an impossible situation, and you know, after these fires, I've talked to a number of people that face an impossible situation. Do I rebuild? Do I move to another state? What do I do? What decisions do we make here? I'm overwhelmed by the choices that are before me. God will help you. Just what we need to do is trust that in God's time and in his way, he will show us a way out. I read of a true story of a man driving through a parking lot in a mall. And as he was driving through the parking lot, he saw a man fall down, evidently having a heart attack on the sidewalk, not far from where he was. And he saw a woman quickly run up, bend over, and start helping the man. Well, he had just learned CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. And so he thought, you know, this is my chance to put my skills to work. So he stopped his car, parked it quickly, ran over, gently but firmly shoved the woman out of the way and began CPR on this man who was having a heart attack. After a few seconds, the woman that he had shoved to the side said, "Sir, you've done everything right so far. And when it comes time to call the doctor, here I am. Just let me know when I need to take over." So what this man had done, in his zeal to help, he'd shoved aside the one who could help the most. And you know, your life and my life is that way. If I don't help myself, nobody's going to help me. That's not true. There is a God who loves you and who is there to help you, who walks beside you. And what we need to do is, in our zeal to move on with our lives and make the right decisions, don't shove God aside. Don't say, "God can't help me." God can help anyone in any situation. Verse 38, here's what Mary says. After being fearful and troubled, after her doubt of how can this be, finally she brings herself to say in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. That point of submission is the point that every one of us needs to come to if God is going to work his perfect will through our lives. Hudson Taylor, a great missionary to China in the 19th century, said this, "I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if I might help him. I ended up asking him to do his work through me." Do you see what he's saying? It's like God is here and I'm over here. And so God help me. Then, oh no, I'll help you, God. But finally, here I am, Lord, just work through me. That's submission. That's saying in my life is a life through which God is going to work his perfect will in my life and then the lives of others. Hudson Taylor also said this. I don't have it up on the screen. He said this, "I have found that there are three stages in every work of God. The first stage, it's impossible. The second stage, it's difficult. And the third stage, it's done." First of all, it's impossible. There's no way this can happen. Secondly, I come to, okay, it's difficult. And finally, when we submit to God, it's done. And what he is saying is, from going from the impossible to it's done, is simply submitting to God and letting him work through you. We need to move on. Mary's journey from fear to faith, the fourth step. We've gone from fear to doubt to submission and finally to trust. And what trust is taking your submission and putting it into action, actually working out the submission. And Mary says, and at the end of this section we're going to read, blessed is she who has been, or rather this is Elizabeth testifying about Mary, who says, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Let's read in verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah. Now, this was a four-day journey from Nazareth. But the first thing Mary does, the first thing she does when the angel leaves her, I got to go see Elizabeth. Because she's going through a miracle too. And I need to see what God is doing in her life. And you know, isn't that important when we are going through a difficult time, a doubtful time, that we can find someone who shares that experience? That's what church is all about. That's why we come together on Sunday morning. One of the reasons we come to praise the Lord, but we come to find encouragement in our daily walk with God. That are you experiencing the same things I am? And when she entered Zacharias's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, only a woman could understand what the feeling was, right? We men don't understand. But those of you who have been pregnant and have children, you understand what it feels like when a baby moves in your womb. Well, John the Baptist, when he heard Mary speak, leaped in her womb, it says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, not a whisper, a loud voice, she exclaimed prophetically, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. I love that. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her and that he will accomplish. Andrew Murray, I skipped one here on trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. God's promise to us. Let's see, am I ahead of myself? I think I am ahead. Let me go back one. There we go. We'll leave that there. I have a few authors that are my favorites that inspire me. And one of them is Andrew Murray, a Scottish pastor of 100 years ago. He writes devotional books, and there's always something in what he writes that says, I wish I'd have said that or written that. That's exactly how I'm feeling. Here's what he wrote one time. He said, in time of trouble, say this, God brought me here. It is by his will that I am in this difficult place. Next, he will keep me in his love and give me grace in this trial to behave as his child. Then he will make the trial a blessing for me, teaching me the lessons he means for me to learn and working in me the grace he intends for me. And lastly, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when only he knows. Therefore, I will say, I am here by God's appointment. I am in God's keeping. I am under his training, and it will come about in his time. Those four things, I think, are as good of an outline for any situation as we could have. I am here by God's appointment. So whatever you're going through, God is in it. He's not far away as a spectator. He is actually in your situation. I am here by God's appointment. I am in God's keeping. He's watching over you. I am under his training. There's a purpose for what I'm going through, and it will come about in his time. And when you trust that, and when you go through that kind of experience, God blesses you. And so we trust in the Lord with all our heart, leaning not on our own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. We go to the last part of Mary's journey, her journey from fear to faith. And it's in a song that she wrote, Mary's Song. I don't know that this was ever put to music. Chuck, have you ever heard Mary's Song put to word? Lloyd, ever heard of this in an actual song? I don't think I have either. Someone should do it. Some songwriter ought to. Anyway, here's what Mary said. My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So from how can this be, Lord, I'm just a virgin, to my soul praises the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And one of the keys to her coming to this is Elizabeth's affirmation of what God is doing and what the angel said. So when Elizabeth affirmed all that God was doing, that brought such joy to her that she broke out in song. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Mary is not boasting here. She's not saying everyone is going to call me a wonderful, virtuous woman. This is about God's blessing. She's going to say, from now on, I will be known as the blessed Mary because God chose me and his grace has come upon me. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And we can say even beyond Abraham and his descendants to all the world of all people, of all places. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then she returned home. So it's evidently she returned home just before Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist because it doesn't say that she was there for that experience. What began in a fearful encounter has become a joyful song of celebration. And C.S. Lewis said, the great English philosopher said this, joy is the serious business of heaven. I love that. That's the business of heaven, to bring joy to your life, true joy. And you know, joy is not like I'm going around just giddy and laughing and celebrating all that. That's not that kind of joy. It's a settled, deep-seated assurance that God is in control. God has a perfect plan for my life. He loves me with an everlasting love, and I will never, ever be separated from the love of God. That's joy. That's joy. And sometimes it brings tears. Sometimes it doesn't mean I don't go through hard times and sorrow and difficulties and setbacks and failures. It simply means that assurance of God's surrounding, abiding love never, ever leaves me, no matter what the circumstances in my life. A woman had a daughter named Peggy, true story, who was in her last stages of leukemia. And she was going to die soon, and she knew it, and her daughter knew it. And she tells of the Sunday before her daughter went into the hospital for the last time and died in the hospital, that she was in church, and her pastor quoted from William Barclay, who was an English Bible teacher, and he said this, and the quote was this: endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. Endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. And Peggy, when she came home for church, had written this down on a 3x5 card and said, "Mom, I'm going into the hospital. I want you to have this. Put it on the refrigerator, and I want you to be reminded that what we're going through is for the glory of God." And her mother put that on the refrigerator. Her daughter went in and soon was in heaven with the Lord. The story of Mary is a beautiful story, and we've only touched the surface of it, but I wanted to read through this section as a reminder that when God chose to save the world, the very people he came to save, he used in the process of salvation. And that means that God can use you too. God can use you in a way to bring salvation to your home, to bring salvation, first of all, to yourself, but to everyone else around you. May this be a wonderful Christmas as we share the love of God and the joy that he brings into our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that Mary, a young, frightened girl, humble girl, was chosen by God to be the mother of our Lord. We thank you for the testimony of her walk from fear to faith. And Father, I don't know where everyone in this room is. There may be some here who are in a very fearful time in their lives or a doubtful time. I pray that whether it's through your word or through an angel, Lord, or however you choose to speak through the Holy Spirit, that Father, that you will continue to lead each one of us on our own individual path of faith. Father, may we never run from you. May we never fear that you are going to ask of us something which we are not able to do. But you will give us the power, the strength, Lord, to accomplish all that you intend for us. May this be a wonderful Christmas season as we share with others the joy of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.